message. So my message this morning is called Don't Look Back. Okay? Don't look back. All right. And I'm going to start with a scripture from Luke. And quite a few verses here, but bear with me. It's going to be up on the screen so you can watch that. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 37. If you're following, Luke 17, verses 20 to 37. So being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Well, do not go out and follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulphur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember, Lot's wife, who seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Sorry, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, that's surrendering, isn't it? Will keep it. I tell you that in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. And they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the corpse is, the vultures will gather." This is a scripture about the end time. And Jesus is talking about the twofold nature of the kingdom of God. He's talking about the fact that the kingdom had already come. He came, God incarnate, Jesus Christ in the flesh. He came. And although the kingdom was made manifest in Jesus, it's not yet fully realized because he is coming again. No one knows when that's going to occur. No one. Only God. And so don't listen to any reports of dates or of months when he's going to come. We know by the seasons and the times we live in that it's getting closer. It's getting closer. But we don't know the day or the hour. So don't listen to anyone that will tell you otherwise. And we know that it's not yet fully realised, because if you woke up this morning, and we did, and we saw the news, well, we'll just realise that there's still pain and there's still suffering on the earth. There is wars going on right now. Terrible, terrible wars. Terrible tragedies. There's still disease on the earth. There's still crime on the earth. And evil is still working on the earth. But the day is coming that the sky will split and he is coming back. And on that day there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more disease, and all things will be made new. Hallelujah. And we long for that. We long for that, but we're not there yet. So we're living between the already and the not yet. We're in between. So we have to continue with God's business while we wait. And one of my favourite scriptures on waiting is in Psalm 37. I haven't got that one there, but it just says, while you're waiting, whatever you're waiting for, so while we're waiting, trust the Lord and go about doing good. Trust God and get on with life and do good. I love it. See, we can't just sit back and think, oh, well, Jesus is going to come soon, and so I'm just going to do what I do to survive. No, we can't think like that. There's still missions work to support. There are people need to hear the gospel. I spoke to a guy this week. He was an ex-employee of ours from a long time ago, and I had to make contact with him because of an insurance thing that had happened way back. And I could see he was really sad and really lonely, so I invited him to church. You know, people are ready. And he said, you know, I've actually been thinking about that. And he said, when I move, because he has to move, he's been kicked out of where he's going, he said, I'm going to come. Now, I'm going to follow him up because I know that God had drew me to him that day. And there's other people that is drawing us to, and they just need an invitation to come. There's good news that needs to be spoken. There's a saying that says, live like it's going to happen today. So we're going to live like Jesus is going to come back for our sake, get our lives right, get ourselves sorted. But it says, prepare like it's not going to happen for generations because we've got work to do. So we can't just think, oh, well, I'll just do this. No, we've got work to do for the generations ahead. And there's much to be done because we live between the already and the not yet. But while we are the church on earth, we have a mandate from heaven, don't we? And we have to do what God has called us to do for this time. But in the scripture, back to that, Jesus is talking about the end times. He mentions Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah and the flood. And it's good to be reminded of these events because it shows us how much God hated sin and hated the evil that was happening. It also helps us to know what's going to happen in the future. Especially, you know, in the last few years, the world's gone crazy. It's gone absolutely crazy. It's in such turmoil, such division, and it's even sneaking into our families. And, you know, you only have to look back to the pandemic when we're all locked down, of the fear and the instability that it brought. And so many things are happening again, which is bringing in the same fear and instability. You know, a few weeks back when we had really hot days, we were actually overseas, but I saw it on social media that they shut the schools down here and there wasn't even a fire. And I thought the fear that you could feel coming in to these children, even the parents, of fires again, because it brings that instability and fear. So Jesus talking about all this is, well, how are we going to live between the already and the not yet? How are we going to live? Well, again, we have to live like it's going to happen today, but we have to prepare like it's not going to happen for generations. I remember Andrew Goulst last week when he spoke. Lovely couple, just beautiful couple. He said, we need Christians to get into politics. We need Christians to get into here. We need Christians to do that because we need to be there. So if you've got something on your heart that you're good at, because God gives each one of us gifts to do and things to do, then we need to follow that. We need to do what he's called us to do. And this is how every Jesus follower should be living today. It shouldn't change how we live. We should be ready for these things and prepared to step out and stand what we believe in. But as Jesus is talking about Noah and the floods and then the fire and the sulfur which is burning down from heaven, in Luke, he throws this line in, I think it's in verse 32. He says, remember Lot's wife. Okay? Now, there was a lot of women in the Bible that were alluded to or mentioned, but he's the only one, as far as I know, that he says, remember Lot's wife. There were other things, especially the woman with the alabaster jar. He says, remember what she's done. Remember what she did. But we're remembering Lot's wife today, and we know what she did. So this is the only woman that God told us to remember, and I guess that's because we've got to take note and learn from this. And, of course, this is all in the context of the end of the world. So I guess you could say that life as we know it now is really burning down, isn't it? It's really burning. And I believe in 2023, as we draw to the end of this year, is a really good time to remember Lot's wife. We don't even know her name, but she was put there for a reason. And you can read the whole, I'm not reading it, but you can read the whole story on Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19 and how God destroyed that city. But before that, we go back when Abraham and Lot were separated. That's where it started. Abraham, in Genesis 13, he settled in the land of Canaan while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. It says, now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. So Abraham and Lot had separated, and we don't really know where Abram even met his wife. We don't even know her name. But whether it was where he set up tent or whether it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, we don't know. It doesn't really matter. But the scripture says that the men of Sodom were wicked. They were so wicked and great sinners. And of course, if you've grown up in church or not, you're often, if you hear Sodom and Gomorrah, your mind straight away goes to the sexual immorality that was in that city. Terrible. That's what the city was known for. But that wasn't the only reason that God was done with them. In Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel says this, in Ezekiel 16, he says, Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, laziness. Listen to this. While the poor and the needy suffered outside the door. She was proud and committed detestable sins, so I wiped her out, as you've seen. Wow. See, unrighteousness and iniquity was a huge part of it also. Pride and arrogance and laziness and forgetting the poor and needy. You see, that's close to God's heart. The poor and the needy are close to God's heart. And I think about the missions that we support in this church and how this house has been blessed because of the missions in the Philippines and the Congo and Africa. I said that, didn't I? Yeah. And the scripture and our pantry club. When we give to these things, God, it's close to his heart. And we're supposed to support these things because who's going to if we don't? So helping those closest to God's heart is so important. And as we do that, God will continue to take us further. And when I think of the broader church around the world, you know, and ask, why has so many things been shaken? You know, God's doing a shaking because he shakes those things that can be shaken. We're not to be shaken, but we will remain. But those things that can be shaken will be. Because the Lord is not done with us being about the Father's business. We have business to do, church. And you know what? It's never going to be like it was. It's never going to go back to what it was. And people say, oh, I wish it would just get back to normal. Well, it's not going to get back to normal. It's never going to be like that. It's a new day. It's a new hour. And when you look at what's happened in the world and the church, even in the last 6 or 7 years, life as we know it is burning to the ground. It's not good. But you wake up any day and it's like, what's going on morally in our world, politically in our world, we've had that, economically, environmentally, socially, like things are burning to the ground, left, right and centre. And so when it comes to Sodom, the Lord says, I'm done. But you know what? He sent two angels in to rescue Lot, his wife and his children. Because it tells us this in Genesis 19. And it says, as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. See, they were got to pass through. It just says, you're passing through, keep going. Don't stop and don't turn back. Escape to the hills lest you be swept away. And we know this is about Lot's wife. In verse 26, it says, Lot's wife behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt, calcified, gone, a pillar of salt. And you know, God sent angels to rescue them. Why? Because he had a plan for them still. He had a purpose for them still. He had provision for them still ahead in the future. But she stopped and she looked back. And it was the only instruction. It just said, don't look back. But she did. But she just didn't turn around. She looked back with a longing and a lusting in her eyes of, oh, I think I really want that. What do we look back at thinking, oh, I really want that? She got calcified. She was stuck, pillar of salt gone, because she looked back longingly and not ahead at what God had for us. So her attachment to her past was greater than her commitment to the future. and all that God had for her, and she became a pillar of salt. In Matthew 5, Jesus tells us that we're the salt of the earth. We're not supposed to be calcified. We're the salt of the earth. And right this hour, we are in a pivotal time on this earth when so many Christians and so many churches are stuck and calcified and have become pillars of salt. And the only one that wins is the enemy, because we're supposed to be salting the earth for the future. And if we're always looking back to the past, we can't be fulfilling our mandate in the future. So it's time to stop looking back. See, for us, it'd be easy to say, well, we used to have more people here. We used to have a worship team. We used to have lots of younger people. And trust me, I feel that every day sometimes. And this week I've felt it more. And I've reflected on that. And God spoke to me and he said, don't look back. Don't look back. Keep going. Just do what I've called you to do. Keep praying for them to come in. So I've stepped up that prayer, earnestly saying, God, bring in your people. Bring in the families and the next generations. Because if I allow myself to think, well, what was, well, then I'm no good to go ahead. And things aren't going to get back to normal. It's different. COVID changed a lot of that, some for the good. Good things came out of it too. So don't look back. Because if we get stuck, it impacts the next generation, our sons and our daughters. You see, people say, well, I didn't sign up for this. Well, you know, last time I looked, Jesus died for me. I didn't die for him. And I signed up to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me and the world behind me. No turning back. That's what I signed up for. And sometimes I have to remind myself to get out of my comfort zone and get out there and do what God has called me to do. It doesn't matter if people are walking away and leaving the church or whatever. I'm just going to look forward and look to what God has. It's his church. He loves it. He doesn't want it to finish. We're a light in this community, and we need to remember that and to keep going. In the Gospel of Luke, the disciples, Jesus had died and he'd been crucified, but he was resurrected this morning. And the disciples were on their way to Emmaus. They're walking down the road to Emmaus. And they were so disappointed, because they had this hope that Jesus was going to save them, and they thought he'd gone. And they're walking along this road, and what they didn't realise was Jesus actually joined them and he was walking with them. And they're having a chat about how bad it was and how disappointed they was, and they'd hoped, because it says in Luke, they hoped he was the one, and they're even saying it to him. And you know what? We have hopes. So many of us have hopes. We hoped that our marriage would work. And sometimes it hasn't. We hope that those people wouldn't leave the church, but they did. We had hopes that our business would prosper, or that those kids would be coming back by now and talking to us. We'd hoped that opportunities would open up for the desires of our heart. But if we put our hope in those things, we can get stuck there. We can be calcified there and not be any good. And sometimes our hopes can be misplaced, because our hope has to be in Jesus, not things. Yes, we believe for those things and we stand in faith for those children that haven't spoken to us or whatever to come back, for our marriages to be restored, for business to prosper, that people would get themselves back in church or in a church, whatever that is. But our hope is in him. It isn't in these things. And sometimes I've realised that my hope is so in that I'm putting misplaced hope there. Yes, I've got faith for that, but my hope is in him. And so it's a bit of a check-up. It was a bit of a check-up for me to think, well, is my hope in him, not in my children or whatever? Yes, we desire those things, and we can never stop believing for them, declaring them, praying for them, but our hope is in him. That's it. Amen. And, you know, just because everything is shaken around us doesn't mean that we have to be shaken, because the fact is our anchor. He is the anchor to our soul. If we're anchored in him, you think of the big ship, we've just been on one lately, they're anchors in this big ocean and yet they're still. they're still because they're anchored in him. And we can just be still and know that doesn't matter what's going on around us, that we can be still in him. Excuse me. So our hope must be anchored in Jesus because you know what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the promises of God are in Christ, a yes and amen, okay? So we should be the happiest, blessed Christians because we know that. The world doesn't. The world doesn't. You see, the promise isn't in the economy. You know, you can listen to the news, which Graham does all the time, and he gets caught up in things sometimes. And, you know, the promise isn't in politics or the yes or the no vote. The promise isn't in society. The promise is Jesus. You know what? And there is peace in Jesus, not in the world, but there's peace in him. You can be in the most turmoil situation, but if you've got peace in your heart, you've got everything you need. He left us that peace so that we could have it. And the world may never know peace, but we know him and we will have peace in him. So we can stand with great confidence because Jesus is the hope that we have, even for our provision. He doesn't say in the Bible that provision is going to finish. He supplied manna to the Israelites every day. So when things get tough, our provision is still in him. And it's the miracles that people are going to see that he provides for us every day because he's an anchor for our soul and our hope has to be in him. He will and always be our provision. Just because the world's losing its mind doesn't mean that we have to. We should be the most stable people on earth because we're anchored in Christ. And no matter what comes before us, our confidence is in Christ and our hope is in him. So if we're looking back, what are we looking for? You know, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, when Joshua and his generation died, listen to this, and all the generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work he had done for Israel. You know, we're on the cusp of losing the next generation. This is why it's so pertinent that Cole came today to remind us of this generation that does not know God. Young people are so gifted. They understand all the big things of this world and the technology which goes over our heads, but they don't know the Lord or the work that he has done or how to access his power. And, you know, it doesn't matter how big our ministries are. What matters is, did I pass the baton on to the next generation? Did we teach a next generation of how to lay hold of God? And it's pretty hard because we don't have a lot of the next generation here with us. But we've got to pray for them and believe that they will come in. Young parents, let me show you this. The four-generation fade. Parents, don't make church a high priority for their kids is the first thing. Second thing is kids grow up and make it less of a priority for their kids. Third, the kids grow up and make it no priority for their kids. And then four, those kids grow up with no concept of God. And that's what's happening out there. We have to declare and decree his word and believe God in faith because he will make a way. But our job is to pray. We can't fix everything, but we can pray. And that's what he's called us to do. Be on our knees and be praying for these things. Because the promise of God still prevails and the purpose of God still prevails and the provision of God still prevails no matter what's happening around us. More important, what is happening in us and who are we rooted in and grounded in? Are we seated in heavenly places and we have access to every spiritual blessing and we need to do what God has called us to do and to be who God has called us to be? So we can't be like Lot's wife and look back longingly and think, I wish things would get back to normal, because they're not going to. Normal is different now. Like the Apostle Paul says, we need to change our confession and we need to say in Philippians 3:13, Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do is forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And that word straining there is a Greek word for to exert a steady force. And I think the Holy Spirit sometimes says, it's time to stop grumbling or murmuring and complaining. It's time to be grateful for what we do have and grateful that He put us here for such a time as this. It isn't a mistake. We're here for now. Remember Lot's wife and not get stuck in that place that we were supposed to be travelling through. Because it's hard sometimes when we go from one thing to the next. We're travelling through, but don't get stuck. We're supposed to keep going and we will get to the other side. Amen. Amen. So let me just finish in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this message this morning that just reminds us to be anchored in you. Like those big ships, we throw down our anchor and we can be still and we can have peace in you. I thank you that you're still our provision. I thank you that you are our God and we want to do what you want us to do. Father, for the next generation, which we can't even see in the room today, we pray that you bring in young families. You know, we all know a young family. We can invite them. We can have them. You know, we can all invite somebody to church. I believe that the seasons are ready. The harvest is ready. So, Father, give us divine appointments for those people that you would want us to get around and help us to remember Lot's wife and to not look back, but to look forward and to remember that we need to pass the baton on to the next generation. Because your church, you want it to go on and on and on until you come again. And so, Father, I just thank you that there's something there for everyone today. And, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. And most importantly, that we would surrender our will to your will. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.